Thank you. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I gotta tell you something. I sure do appreciate all of you getting up early this morning, joining us. I look down there, the folks are rolling in, and Jared's still letting people in. It appears to be the same folks all the time, although I know that our audience and our influence is spreading. And I just appreciate you guys coming here every morning. And I want you to know I don't take this responsibility lightly. I want you to know that I know more than I talk about, and I talk about quite a bit. And I want you to know that it's an open forum, that you don't have to agree with me. That we're going to all allow. I'm going to throw stuff on the table, and the Holy Spirit's going to be the one that's going to guide us into all truth. And the problem that we have, and I believe, I've seen it in my own life. The problem we have in modern American Christianity is this: if you don't agree with my doctrine or my theology, you start your own church. Or if you don't agree with my doctrine or my theology, you start your own group. And theology matters, right? But we're never going to get anywhere if people, let me use this as an example. People who drop in and out of the queue, in and out of watching this show because they get offended. Or I said something they don't agree with. They say, well, you know, he was talking about that, and that's just heresy. So I'm not listening to him anymore. Yet you watch Fox News. Watch Fox News. You watch CNN. You listen to Rush Limbaugh. And if you think that we're going to be able, and those of us, you think we're all going to agree? Now, have you stuck your head outside the window? Jared, I bet you Google this right now for me, Jared. Maybe you can. Just Google this. How many denominations are there in the world? How many denominations of Christianity? And see what we come up with. And you know what makes a denomination? There's right there, I think maybe Jared. Go right to the top, see what it says for us there. A Christian denomination is a distinct religious body within Christianity, identified by traits such as name, organization, and doctrine. Individual bodies, however, may use alternative terms to describe themselves. This is not a complete list, but aims to provide comprehensive overview of diversity among groups. Scroll on down. These are Christian denominations. Keep going on down there, Jared. Look at those. Denom right there. Denom means to divide, right? A numerator and a denominator. Scroll on down just a little bit more, Jared, because I think it's going to tell us exactly how many there are. Right there. Today, right there. What's it say? Somewhere I saw, Jared, maybe it's not on this page. There's 33,000 different Christian denominations. 33,000 Christian denominations. And what makes a denomination? Well, that church believes in speaking in tongues, and we don't believe in that. That church believes in keeping Sabbath, and we don't agree with that. That church believes in the laying on of hands, and we don't believe in that. That church believes in transubstantiation, and we don't believe in that. And they start to look at this. This is unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. You guys ever seen this? And can I tell you something? It happens right here. It happens right on this show. Now, how do you know that? I get the emails. Well, Coach, I don't agree with that. You said this, and I don't agree with that. And I can no longer watch that show. If you're going to be talking. It happens right here. And see, I don't know the solution to it. I don't know. Because if Christianity were really lived out properly, there probably wouldn't be a whole lot of argument, would there? Wouldn't the doctrine be so clear? And I had a friend of mine who, somebody dinged me here this morning. No, I didn't, Pat. No, I didn't catch flack. I don't care about that. It wouldn't surprise me, Mike, if I did, but I didn't catch flack for that. I had a friend of mine that said he went back to Catholicism. I said, what are you doing that for? He said, I'm sick of evangelical Christianity. Every church you walk in is doing something different, believing something different. As you walk in a Catholic church, for the most part, they believe the same thing and they've believed it for thousands of years. And I think that I don't agree with everything in the Catholic church, my friend says. I don't agree with everything the Catholic church teaches, but they've been pretty consistent in what they've taught. And I didn't really know what to say. I really didn't. Because when you come across people, how about this one? Hey, I just told these guys, when I came down the steps, I got tapped on the back, so I'm going to ride on this horse. People like to, they come and shake hands with you, and they want to meet you. Oh, nice to meet you, Coach Dave. Hey, Coach Dave, where do you go to church? Why? Why would they ask me that? How about this? Coach Dave, what religion are you? In other words, what do you believe about Christianity? Because before this conversation can go any further, I have to know whether or not we agree. Throw that list back up there, Jared. Look at this. Why are they all denominations? Because they agree. They don't agree. I'm sorry, they don't agree. Why is there one Catholic Church, one Holy Catholic Church? Because they agree. Now, here's what you better ask yourself. Do we agree just because, even though we don't agree with the doctrine, even though the doctrine's wrong, do we agree with that? You say, well, Coach, that's why I can't fellowship with them, because I don't agree with their doctrine. You might have an answer to it. Anybody have a solution to it? It is where we are. And if a guy happens to be, let's throw this one out. Let's say a guy happens to be in the Church of God, Church of God. Is he allowed to believe something that the denomination doesn't believe? Can you have a Church of Christ? Can you have a Lutheran church? How about this one? Charismatic Catholics. Are you allowed to, what is all this stuff? Guys. I'm really searching this morning. I cannot believe the things that people in the queue divide over. Now, wait a minute, not in the queue, because we don't, you know, for the most part, you guys know there's freedom to believe whatever you want to believe. I never say you have to agree with me. And I ain't looking for followers. But I'll ask you this right now. Could anybody right now tell me, I'm serious, the difference in a Methodist and a Baptist? I'll wait. Somebody tell me the difference.
Predestination.
Predestination?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Well, some of them believe that when you're born, that it's already determined that you're going to go to heaven or whatever. Your path is already known or whatever. You know, there's no free will that's, you know, this one's going that way and that one's going this way.
So if I believe that, I can't fellowship with someone who's not predestination?
Well, apparently that's the way it is, because all these, in my opinion, all of these denominations were men having falling out with other men and going their own way.
Amen.
I believe in this and say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, fine. I'm just going to take myself and my family, and we're going to go open up another church. And if anybody else in here agrees with me, you can come join my church.
Pretty good definition, Chad, I would think. Do you think the average person sitting in the Lutheran church knows the difference between the Lutheran church and the Presbyterian church? Do you think the average person does? Do you think anybody said, How about this? Do you think there are people who are sitting in churches today who are being taught things? Now, wait a minute. Being taught things that are true, but not everything that's true. Do you believe that it's possible to go to a church and not agree with your pastor? Is it possible to go to, can you go to downtown Columbus for a political rally with people not of your denomination? I've learned this through experience, okay? Let's say I want to have a huddle in Bremen, Ohio on September 29th. I want to have a huddle down there in Bremen, Ohio. And I rented the Episcopal Church to do it. You know, people won't come to the huddle because it's in the Episcopal Church. You know that. I said, well, this doesn't have anything to do with the Episcopal Church. We just rented it. Yeah, I'm sorry, though. I don't agree with the Episcopal Church. But we're not. It isn't the Episcopal Church. No. Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll rent the Legion Hall. Will that work for you? Yeah, I'll come to the Legion Hall. I can't walk in there. Yeah, right? Listen, I'm serious. Somebody's got to help me here. Because I'm going to say a dirty word, although it isn't dirty. We're getting our asses kicked. And we would rather fight with each other than fight the real enemy. Somebody say amen.
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 It's safe to fight each other. It's safe to fight each other.
Why do you say that? Not necessarily.
Well, because you're not going to get you're not going to get sent to jail. You're not going to get your head chopped off. It's not like the old days.
Yeah. Okay?
I mean, what Chad said about, you know, predestination versus free will. They were killing people 200 years ago over that disagreement.
That's right.
Okay. And Catholicism versus Protestantism and Lutheranism, killing people. Okay. Right. We have to learn to live in peace and pursue the relentless pursuit of truth. That's it.
Amen.
Coach, I had this conversation with a brother yesterday, the exact same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
A question we need to be asking ourselves, and the question that convicts me is, we all have the same Holy Spirit in us, right?
Supposedly.
If that's the case, then why are we not united? Why are we not together? That's a question each of us has to ask ourselves.
And the answer was?
I don't know what the answer is. I don't know.
We're supposed
to have the same spirit. If the spirit is strong enough to convert us, it could certainly unite us, right?
Right.
Why are we united?
Well, and you know, in my opinion, the whole problem is, again, the whole reason we have death in this world is because we all are sinners, also have sin. So if we're competing with that, and then we're drugged in our own direction, pride, ego, whatever you want to call it, that moves us, you know, my way or the highway thing.
So, Chad, we just had this wonderful event down in Moody, Texas. 50 people, and it was a wonderful, wonderful weekend, great fellowship. And you know, Chad, I don't know anybody's theology. I don't know the theology of anybody in that room. And they don't know my theology. And we got along perfectly well. And I have a bond and a connection to each one of those people. And it doesn't have anything. We're not going to change the world. We're not going to change it. I mean, it is what it is. But that's a problem.
Coach, can I say something?
Yes,
sorry,
yes.
Coach. Can I say something? To answer the gentleman's question, I don't claim to know everything, but what the Holy Spirit told me is that people are on different frequencies. There are people who say that they're saved, and I'm not actually saved. They're on Satan's frequency. There's two frequencies, God's frequency and Satan's frequency. Someone can say that they're a Christian, but doesn't mean they're on the same frequency that they're obeying the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So I just wanted to clarify that, it comes from personal experience in my former life before I was saved. So just had to say that. Thank you.
Hey, Tanya, if I can put you on the spot, okay? This is really critical. I think it's really critical. Tanya, you can sit down if you want to. You can buckle in if you want. But Tanya, you were part of the dark side, and the dark side is real, is it not, Tanya?
It is real. I was basically born into it. It is very real. I had my grandmother, not my mother's mother, but my father's mother, literally when I sleep over at their house, summon demons into the room. I would see altars in the kitchen. I saw all kind of weird stuff. People, and when I was a kid, you have to get as a kid's perspective as a 5 or 6 year old, people with weird like hats and just weird almost like costumes, like praying over something on an altar. I didn't understand it as a child, but it all connected when I was saved. It all connected. It is real. It is real. There's a spiritual warfare out there.
They certainly believe it's real. Now the question is, are we going to believe it's real? Do you agree with that? Ain't no doubt they believe it's real.
Well, Dave, like I've said before, I think that what it is that two things. We give Satan too much credit. And the second thing is we don't give Satan enough credit.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
How can you fight what you don't believe is real? How can you fight what you don't believe is real? Come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I'm on the road, so I may fade out. But answering your question about what are we going to do about denominationalism and all that, well, besides there being the verse that Paul says, let each man be convinced in his own mind about what he eats or what day he does what, the more important thing is each of us individually can look back at our own lives, our own walks with Christ, and we can see that it went from stage to stage to stage. We know more truth now than we did 20 years ago. We know more truth now than we did 10 years ago. And when you will admit that, then you can accept untruth in others until they come to the truth.
Boy, Larry, is that ever? See, that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? Isn't that it in a nutshell? I know so much more than I knew 5 years ago. I can't even tell you the spiritual growth inside this man since I started doing this every day. You know why? Because this program has forced me to dig into the Word. And when I dig into the Word, I find out two things. Number one, the truth. And number two, the untruth. I see both when you dig into the Word. And so I walk into a church and I listen to the doctrine and I say, you know what? He's wrong on that, but he's right on that. Every time I go to church, I say, you know what? He's got that wrong. He's not a bad guy, but he's got that wrong. And I just pray that the Lord will open his eyes and he'll understand. But can I tell you what the problem is? He, looking down at me, won't dare believe what I believe. He's the one that's got it right. Therein runs our problem. Because, see, the pastor, if he's part of a denomination at all, he can't veer off what they believe. And then, if a pastor, what do you do, boys and girls? What do you do if a demon manifests itself inside your church and the pastor doesn't believe in the dokadomania? He doesn't believe in it. What do you do if you walk into a church where they don't believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit and somebody stands up in the back and gives a word? What do you do? Well, I would say, well, we don't believe in that here, really. Well, what was that? Devil. Well, I thought you don't believe in devils. Well, yeah, we believe in devil. You with me? I know you're with me. This is a serious, serious problem, a serious, serious issue. I'm going to shock some of you. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues. I don't care if you believe it or not. I do not care. Now, you and I can still fellowship together. I believe in it. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I hate to change subjects like this, but I'm going to be hitting the end zone of the road here. And as far as what you guys might be wanting to get together to bring down to the flood zone, which, by the way, is getting worse and worse and worse, and now they're saying some of the rivers will not cross next week. No, they're not. Record high flood levels. And anyway, they're already out of tarps. They've been handing out water and such food in North Carolina already. They're already out of tarps, so tarpaulins that for people to help keep stuff dry. And,
Larry, you keep breaking up on us, Larry. Sorry. You can give us more of an update. It's going to get worse. That's not over. That's not over.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know.
Morning,
you
David.
Know, you've met my good morning. You met my the group that we fellowship with.
I have
here, and you know what? We all don't have the same theology. But uh-huh. you see how well we fellowship and praise the Lord together, because that's what it's all about. You know, so some of us...
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter if you're once saved, always saved. Doesn't really matter there, David, when you guys come together.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Because we focus on the things that do matter. You know, like what our commission is and about going up against the dark side. See, Tanya had it. She hit the nail on the head when she said, you know, it's some people, just because they claim to be Christian doesn't mean they really are. And some of them really want to be or really want to believe that they are, but their actions show that they're not. So when we see this, and you know, I see it a lot. I mean, I've had pastors tell me, well, David, you can't pray in tongues. You can't pray in the spirit. That's a waste of time. That's just your emotions, you know, but I know that when I pray, I know when the Spirit takes over. I know it's not me. It's not my emotions. It's the Holy Spirit of God. So because I know that, that's not going to cause me to break fellowship with somebody. But what will cause me to break fellowship with somebody is when they are constantly and consistently trying to downgrade what I do believe and what the Lord has given me. You know, and so I think that there you go. You use that satanic frequency or God's frequency.
Yes,
it's not everybody who claims to be Christian is a Christian. You're not a Christian because of your works. You have works because you're a Christian.
Or David, even, hey, Jared, go to 1 Corinthians 13, by the way. Or even like, Lord just spoke this in my ear. I was listening the other night to the Beach Boys. You guys all remember the Beach Boys, don't you? What was the name of that song? It doesn't matter.
Good Vibrations.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Lindell. Good Vibrations. And I was watching them as they were singing Good Vibrations. It's fabulous to listen to that song. I mean, it's just fabulous. And I'm watching it and I'm trying to say, golly, who's making that high pitch sound? Which one of these guys is doing it? Who's doing that bass? I was trying to figure out which voice was doing what. See, it's the same thing. We don't all hear. We don't all hear. We're not all tuned into the same thing.
Yeah.
And just because I sit around when my family gathers before, like my brother has a birthday party coming up here on Saturday night. We're going to be over at his house and probably drunkards that some of them are. We always say a prayer before we eat, and we always sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so we're around all the drunkards around there. All my, I'm not making fun of them. I love them to death. Just telling you the truth. And all of a sudden, as we're singing it, I hear people start to harmonize. And I'm thinking, dang, I wish I could do that. I can't hear that in my head. I hear it when they do it, but I can't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's different waves and different frequencies. And you can't teach what you haven't experienced. And I know this, David, that everybody who doesn't believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit is somebody who's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, you said it, Coach. Some people can't harmonize.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead,
Coach.
Go ahead.
I've had this conversation with Matt and Rusty and Jason Storms, and I probably had it with you. I mean, these are some strong, solid, biblical, like-minded Christians. And I always tell them, I said, everybody has holes in their theology. I said, now there's some absolutisms that are you can't take them off the table. These are absolute. But these secondaries, whether I pray in tongues or whether I don't, have nothing to do with eternal value. What I believe in that. So what I'm saying is when people take their traditions, like you were talking about the difference between the Baptist and the Methodists believe in baptizing children at an infant, and they believe in sprinkling with the Baptist belief. But the problem is they make these things, these traditions, their theology.
Yes,
and brother, that's where the error becomes. But everybody has a hole in their theology. And the question is when you stand before God, are you going to tell God my theology was perfect and yours wasn't, because that's basically what you're saying.
Or Dale, are you going to speak to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, but my pastor told me that that wasn't true. And he's going to look at you and say, what? Huh? He's going to say, right? So he's going to forgive us for things that we don't know, we don't understand.
We don't already do that? Aren't we already telling God how to do his business? Aren't we already counseling God when and how he should do what he's supposed to do?
Yes, sir. So I went to 1 Corinthians 13 for a reason, okay? I'm not here to debate tongues. Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels. So there was a tongue. We all would agree with that, right? It was a tongue at one point. Jared, what they're going to say, scroll on down, because I don't want to read this whole thing. Because I want you guys to see this. Hang on. Because here's where, there it is. Go up. No, keep going. When I spoke, no. Where does it say tongues will cease? Where does it say that, Dale? There it is. Charity never fails.
It's in there.
But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So let me ask you something. If tongues has ceased, which is what the cessationists will say, has knowledge vanished away? Hey guys, has knowledge vanished away? This is in the same paragraph. Let's look at that again, Jared. Scroll down there a little bit. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. Charity never fails. But whether be prophecies, they're going to fail. Whether be tongues, they're going to cease. And whether be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So am I to believe today that tongues have ceased, but knowledge hasn't vanished away? I'm asking the question to the cessationists. And I'm not here to argue about whether speaking in tongues. That's not even the purpose of it here. Some say you submerge. Some say you sprinkle. Some say you're once saved, always saved. Some say, no, you're not once saved, always saved. And really, does it matter? Does it matter? Listen,
hey, I've coach. Been.
Yes. Go ahead, Mike.
What's verse 10 say?
But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with.
There's the dividing line right there, Coach. What is the perfect? Cessationists say it's the canon. I say it's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need all those things when Jesus comes back, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. See, so here is what I'm, Mike, thank you for that profound thing right there, Pastor Mike. Here's what I'm saying. We don't deal with demons because we don't believe it. We don't believe David Arthur was assaulted in his bed. We don't believe it. Why don't we believe it? Because somebody told us that was Didache Demonoia. Somebody told us that. Yet the scripture's full. Scriptures are full of demons. Hey, Jared, I sent you a link. The last link I sent you there, Jared, pull that up there.
Well, Coach, it's a simplicity even in the natural realm. Okay, how many in the queue can say that I have literally held on to, I don't want to say a million because maybe someone has, say $500 million, you know, literally have sat and held on to $500 million? We'd say no, never have. But does $500 million exist? Yeah. But what we want to do is take our truth because I've not possessed it.
That's right.
Does not exist.
That's my point. I haven't done it, therefore it's not true. So are demons real? No, hang on. If we have a spiritual, here's what I'm trying to get to. If there's a spiritual war, if the scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. It does say that, doesn't it? Am I making that up? Have I heard that someplace? I'm pretty sure it says it. What does that mean? What does that mean? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, so it's not a carnal battle. What do we wrestle against? Principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Yes or not? Yes. What are evil spirits? What the heck is that? It's an evil spirit.
That's what's crazy, Coach. How foolish of a statement for someone to say that I believe in God, where the Gospel of John chapter 4 says, and they that worship God must have been spirit and truth, because God is a spirit. How can you say that there's a God and there is no devil? You're a fool.
Jared, scroll down here a little bit.
Oh, here's another one, Coach. Here, let me throw it in there before you show that.
Okay.
Then we want to blame everything on Satan. We want to say, Satan did this. Satan's attacking me. No, the powers, demons, and rulers in high places, because Satan himself is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time.
Right. So, Dale, I tell people, if you believe in angels, you have to believe in demons. It's the same Bible that tells us, but same, right? So I scrolled through this real quickly, and I hate to take the whole time to read down through it. start right at the top there, Jared, if you can reduce it just a little bit for me. Are demons merely the product of folklore? Was David Arthur crazy when he said that happened to him? Well, let's examine this brief in historic order. You might assume that means we will start in Genesis, but an earlier mention is mentioned in John's Gospel. John 1:1 starts before there were any demons, before earth and universe existed, before human beings were created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here we see two beings who have eternally existed. One's called the Word, and the other's called God. There is the spiritual realm. In other words, from before time as we know it, there have always been two eternal beings who are God. Both are in the members of the God family. Their Word is one, who later came to earth as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the other is the one we know as the Father. Notice John 13, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. Okay? So God created angels. God, through Christ, created all life that we can observe, as well as his invisible life forms. There are spirit life forms that we cannot see. Next, notice some statements in God from Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This is speaking of a point in time much later than was referenced in John 1:1. At this point, the universe exists and God speaks of creating the earth. The term morning refers to angels, spirit beings who were sons of God, not by reproduction, but by creation. Where Christ used stars to symbolize angels, God had created these spirits, the angels, before he created the earth. The Bible speaks of different types of angels, cherubim, seraphim, and others. So here we see all the created spirit beings harmoniously rejoicing at the earth's creation. But some angels turn to the dark side. Because the Bible is essentially the story of God's plan for humankind, angels are mentioned only in connection with the plan. So we learn about the angels in bits and pieces. Scripture names three angelic beings, Gabriel, Michael, Haleo, called Lucifer. You believe in Lucifer? You believe in Gabriel and Michael? Is the Bible lying? Well, God himself tells Lucifer how he turned to evil. He says, you were an anointed cherub who covers and I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. Heavenly, folks, natural, unnatural world. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones, implying a position of high authority over other angelic beings. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence with you, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. Dudes, what's the mountain of God? Is it in this world or is it in a world we can't see? The Docadoimania, they tell us. So Lucifer from cherub to Satan. This is how it happens.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, it just hit me while you're talking that you know, what would you think if we were in a war? I mean, an all-out war, and all of our lives were threatened, and we were all together. Do you think any of our doctrine would matter at that point, or would we be all united in one accord to win the battle and to keep our lives? And, you know, that's how I see today's church. Not engaged. People, for the most part, are not engaged in the battle. So, therefore, they focus more on what they disagree on versus what they agree on.
Amen. I agree with George.
Coach, can I say something?
Sure. Anybody can say something. Go ahead.
There's for months and months now, there's been a few people in my life who have had incubus, succubus experiences. And as I go through Russ's lessons and have, you know, the fellowship with the team that I have, and I hear about it, and you know what? I was like, okay, okay. But I didn't really believe, because when it happened to me, I couldn't believe it.
You know, I didn't think it could be till it happened to me.
Yeah. And so when it happened to me, I mean, I can sit here and say what really – Jamie said it last night. He said it perfectly. He says, David, there's evidence of what happened to you. You didn't have an abscess and then, you know, figure, well, guess what? This, I think this happened to me. No, this happened, and then the evidence presented itself. But better yet, what really bothers me is the fact that anybody would actually call me a liar. That bothers me. That shows me them. You know, that shows me what they believe. That shows me what they don't believe. That shows me who they are and what they are. And so when I call them out on it and they get ticked off, that's the problem. That's the problem. But what I want everyone to understand is that my goal isn't to divide or to say you're wrong, you don't know what you're talking about. My goal is to say, come here, let me show you the way more perfectly, because that's the example I see in the Word of God, is let me show you the way more perfectly. Oh, wait, you don't want to know the way more perfectly? Then I can't have fellowship with you. I can't. If you don't want, see, I don't want to be your friend. I want to be your brother. And if I can't be your brother, then we don't need to have a relationship, because I don't need friends. I need brethren. That's what I need.
And I don't have to be your twin to be your brother.
Amen. Amen. I have fellowship with people who believe things that I just happen to not believe, you know. But one thing I do love, I love reproof and I love correction. If it's true, you know, if it's sound and it's doctrine, I mean, there's things that I've learned from you. There's things that I've learned from Pastor Dale. I've learned from Pastor Mike. I've learned. But there's some things that I stand firm on, because the Lord himself revealed them to me when he trained me up. When Jesus Christ taught me how to be a man, he revealed certain things to me. And I stand firm on those things. And now I'm learning about a whole nother realm. And I'm open to it. But unless you're open to it, if you're closed-minded to it, then you're closed-minded to God himself.
David, I love Jesus more than I ever have. The deeper I get into this, the more I see I love him more than I ever have. Jared, I see what you're pulling up there. Let's go back to where we were, Jared. Let's finish this real quickly. Hey, folks, if you believe in God, you have to believe in a spiritual world. If you believe in an afterlife, you have to believe in a spiritual world. Okay? You have to believe in it.
Hey, Coach, here's a passage of scripture. Coach, hey, Dave, the alphabet man, you're in good company, because this began when Jesus rose from the dead. In John chapter 20, verse 25, he says, therefore, the other disciples were formed, saying, we have seen the Lord. Thomas said unto them, unless I see in his hands and imprint the nails and put my finger into his side, I will not believe. And Jesus came to him and said, hey, Thomas, reach here your finger, see my hands, and reach here your side and put it into my side. And not being unbelieving, but believing.
You know what, I was just pulling that verse up, Dale, when you were I was looking at that verse just before you read it. I can't that's exactly the thought that came to my mind.
You know what, Pastor D? I pray that those who don't believe in demonic attacks don't have to endure.
Amen. That's right.
I pray that they don't have to endure what I had to endure.
Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. See, folks, you're going to believe whatever you want to believe. I don't care if you agree. I'm just trying to enlighten you and open your eyes and say, gee, maybe there's something to this. Hey, let's go back there real quick, Dale. Good word, by the way, Dale. Let's go back, Jared, to where we were.
The encouraging thing, Coach, is to understand that we're in good company, that this happened to Christ. Don't let it be a pitfall for us to dwell, that we need to move on, that this is going to happen.
This powerful evil spirit is the one called the devil. Evil spirit. And Satan, everywhere in the Bible. Satan is a Hebrew word for adversary or opponent. Sadly, Satan convinced a multitude of other angels, perhaps many millions, to turn against God as well. Book of Revelation, he symbolizes a dragon. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. The stars are the other angels he took with him. These spirits, down below, the spirits who rebelled are called the angels who sinned. More often, the Bible refers to them as demons or evil spirits. They've combined their forces with Satan to relentlessly oppose God and try to thwart God's purposes for humanity. How do they thwart God's purposes to humanity? Through people. Possession and protection. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record numerous examples of either cruelly afflicted or possessed by demons. Demons are so real and so powerful that Jesus taught us to pray on a daily basis to deliver us from the evil one. The fact that Jesus taught us to include this in our daily prayers emphasizes that demons should be taken seriously. They exist. They're not just scary figures of our imagination to be toyed with. We should pray every day for God's protection from the spiritual dangers of Satan and the demons. This goes on and on and on and on.
Amen, Coach.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. How can you believe in God and the devil and believe in angels but not believe in demons? How can you possibly, in your mind, say, boy, the angels were watching over me. Oh, he was an angel. An angel touched me. Yeah, but a demon doesn't? A demon doesn't have any influence on you? You ever been touched by the Spirit of God? But you can't be touched by an evil spirit?
Well, see, Coach, a lot of them believe in demons, but they don't believe. They only believe in demons because, oh, my car wouldn't start. I'm being attacked by the devil because my car wouldn't start. I stubbed my toe. Oh, the devil did that too. It's the blame game. But they don't really believe. They don't really believe.
Coach?
Yes.
Yeah. Four and a half years into, we made Wednesday night no longer a church service. It is strictly an intercession and prayer. And the amazing thing is that, you know, people believe in prayer, but I said, you know, when people really want to show up and pray is when their lives are being touched. Then they want to pray to the Spirit of God that Spirit might touch them, heal them, restore their loved one, bless them. That's when they want to engage in the spirit realm, is when they're in a desperate situation. Little do they realize just what you just said. If you're going to pray to God that God can heal you, what makes you think that the enemy can't touch you and bring sickness upon you like he did Job?
It's a great deception. Hey, Jared, go back to the life and hope thing. Go back to that. Go ahead. Come on in.
Dave, I was just going to say that, you know, there's a line in the movie that says, when you're in a fighting hole or foxhole, there are no atheists in a fighting hole.
Right.
In a
That's
combat
right.
situation, they call on everybody because, you know, you get real religious. You know what I mean?
You sure do. So let me continue here with this, Chad. But before God can grant us protection, we have to do our part seeking God's righteousness and doing what we've been called to can do to keep our minds spiritually healthy. In that way, we will not become vulnerable to demons who are constantly doing their level best to sidetrack us spiritually. You shall not tempt the Lord your God, Jesus said. In the context of the statement, tempting God means purposely putting ourselves in harm's way and expecting God to rescue us. Examples of tempting God include filling our minds with movies and books and games or activities that deal with the occult or horror themes or black magic or witchcraft or pornography or mediums or fortune tellers like. Also, we are flesh and blood. We have to be aware of the invisible spirit world and its potential for harming us. The Bible puts us this way. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does that mean? But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, the devil, demons, plant thoughts. The spiritual battle takes place in our minds and our thoughts. We must therefore be on guard about whatever we allow into our minds. The mind is, of course, affected by the physical brain. In order to function well, the brain has to be well rested. There are other physical steps we should take, such as keeping our environment orderly and clean. Orders of God, confusion, and chaos are Satan. So as shocking as demons and religion, as shocking as the thought might be, demons also involve themselves in religions. But stop to consider. What better way to subtly influence people than by pretending to be righteous messengers of God? Your best life now. Why can't we all just get along? The Apostle Paul warned the Christians of Corinth to avoid other religions, saying that the worship, not other Christianity, other religions, saying that their worship was directed to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. What? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. What? You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. What? Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Do we tempt God? Are we stronger than he? In another place, Christ inspired Paul to say, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also do the same thing. Wow. What a startling thought. Satan would work through those whom many people would think of as righteous men, or through a religion that seems to be of God. Demons are active. Demons remain active today, working invisibly behind the scenes to assist Satan in opposing God, his plans for humanity, his church, his people. In fact, scroll up, Jared. That's all right, man. In fact, Bible prophecies reveal that demonic activities will greatly increase before Christ returns. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons, the didacadomania. Notice again the mixture of demons and religion. And one of the tactics of Satan and the demons is to deceive, both intellectually and visible signs and actions. Intellectual deception takes place through both religious and non-religious information. Demons will use whatever works. Since demons are liars, they have no conscience preventing them from twisting. Are you watching what's going on with Kavanaugh? Demons are liars. They have no conscience preventing them from twisting the truth any way they choose to spin it. They will say anything necessary to get you off track from the true teachings of Jesus Christ. Regarding miracles, Revelation 16:4 describes sensations that will occur just prior to the end of the world, for they are all spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and out to the whole world to gather them to the battle that great day of God Almighty. People can easily be impressed by the act that seems miraculous. Readily assuming that the one who performs it is a messenger of God. But God's going to bring an end to the demons. He has reserved an everlasting change under the darkness for the judgment of that great day. Demons have been influencing men. Let's start here. The influence of demons will continue. Will come to an end. Prophecy reveals that when Jesus Christ returns, Satan and the demons will be banished from influencing humankind for 1,000 years. Yes, demons and Satan most certainly do exist. However, we don't need to fear them. We have power and authority over them. We have power and authority over them. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is greater in you is he who is greater than he who is in the world. God has also shown how we may put on spiritual armor, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird our loins with truth, shod our feet with the preparation of gospel of peace, gird the shield of faith wherewith we might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and above all, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and having done all to stand. Why are you putting the armor on, and what are you fighting against? Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Damn, this is good. Yeah, George.
So really, part of what I hear you saying is since Satan couldn't defeat the church, he joined the church, and we have to be equally aware of what's going on outside the church as we do inside the church.
And George, and will you look at how hard Satan is working and how unified his team is? Will you look at that?
Yeah, amen.
And see, we don't even really see. We cling to the Bible verses that say that our enemies are those who sow discord amongst the brothers. Well, how do I know you're my brother? What makes you my brother? And if I come to you and I bring to you a spiritual truth that you've never believed before, am I sowing discord or am I bringing enlightenment? Am I bringing correction?
Yeah, and brother, the enemy is not the one who sows discord. That's Proverbs chapter 6. He says, six things the Lord hates, yea, the seventh is the abomination. Bill Shanks laid that out. He said, the discord is like doing a spiritual abortion. It's like taking your own sword and slicing your brother, he says, because that's what the discord is. It says, then you actually become the guilty one.
Amen. Amen. And so what do we see happening? Can I tell you what's happening in my life? I don't know about your life. I have friends peeling off of me simply because I'm talking about this stuff. They peel off. Coach has gone off on the dark side. Somebody help me here.
Isn't that what happened in Mark? We read this a few months ago where Jesus had the multitude following him. He began to challenge them. He says, your love better be so great towards me that it's greater than your brothers and your mothers and your sisters. And he turned around and looked and they were gone. And then he turned and looked at his own little handful of disciples. He says, are you going to leave me too?
Amen, baby. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to do it now, but there's 42 people in the queue and thousands that are listening. If I were to open the phone lines, if I was able to do that, I'm telling you this. We could get testimony after testimony after testimony of people who have been impacted by the dark side. They can tell you what happened to them. They can recite the whole experience. They can explain the whole thing to you. And many of you listening will not believe it. And you're calling them a liar. Anybody want to testify right now? Anybody out there want to testify? I'm not going to laugh at you because I think it's real. I ain't laughing at you. You mean to tell me you go to that abortion clinic and you can't see evil spirits? Are you kidding me? You have to be kidding me. You see a woman walk in there to kill a baby, you get these demonic activities. You mean to tell me Nancy Pelosi's not demonic? You can't see that? Yeah, Dianne Feinstein, you telling me you can't recognize demonic activity? You tell me Barack Obama's a Christian? Are you kidding me? You cannot recognize the spiritual influence on their lives? Yeah, you're kidding me, aren't you? Are you born again? Have you passed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son? Was there a time in your life when you were a scoundrel and then you met Jesus and something miraculous happened to you and to realize that you passed from one dark influence to a light, that you went from an influence of darkness and a spiritual darkness into a spiritual enlightenment? Don't you understand that that happened spiritually? That didn't happen naturally and physically. Why do we have such a hard time connecting? And Satan's greatest was to convince us he wasn't real. That was his greatest weapon. Yeah, Dale.
Yeah, I'll give you a real quick testimony. You brought up the abortion clinic because we want to go, ooh. Brother, when my son was 3 years old and the director of that abortion clinic in Metairie, who was a true high priest witch, railing and cackling. My three-year-old son looked at her and says, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Brother, the most amazing thing happened. It shows the power of God even through the mouth of babes. It looked like she was sucking on a lemon. Brother, she couldn't utter another word. She literally shut down, turned around, and had to walk back into the clinic because she couldn't say anything. We look at this and we want to glorify the evil, but look at the power of God even through a three-year-old child.
I don't believe that, Dale. I don't.
I know that, brother. That was in a movie. I watched it in a movie one time. That's what it was.
I've never seen that happen. That never happened to me. I don't believe that.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
So if you watch a Hackman show, now I'm not supporting YouTube because they need to be starved for what they've done to us. But 11/11/18/16, when they had Doc Marquis on, there's absolute evidence of demons. So, November 18th, 2016, the Hackman show with Doc Marquis.
I don't believe that, Vinny. Sorry. Doc Marquis's crazy. He's crazy. I don't believe that. Hey, well, Coach. Listen, I go to church every Sunday, and my pastor's never mentioned it once. It can't be true.
Therefore, what they say is, unless I can put my fingers in the side of Satan, will I then believe that he's real?
Amen. Amen. Hey, laugh if you want. Where do you ever see anything like we're talking about here in your Christian walk, ever? And where do you ever have the opportunity to stand up and say what you believe? And not be laughed out of the room and mocked and called names and spoken behind your back, calling you crazy, nuts, off on the whatever, doctors, the docadomania.
Hey, Coach.
I'm glad I'm part of the queue. Yeah, Dale.
Or hey, I'll testify real quick. Again, I think if you want to see demons manifested, go to an abortion clinic because that's where the front line is. And we have one lady in particular, and she cackles. She dances when these gals go inside.
You're making it up, Coach.
I know. But it's a good story. Hey, so when I went to my church, Coach, see, we could never talk about that because most people aren't going down there witnessing that. So you have nothing to really talk about in that realm. But when I witnessed it firsthand, Coach, my life changed because I saw how real it is.
And you know what, Coach? You know what's really sad is that there are people sitting in pews, in congregations, in these church buildings, and they're not being taught about the spiritual war, about the battle that's really going on.
No wonder our lunch is getting eaten, huh, David? No wonder they're eating our lunch.
There are people coming over to me and saying, I've never learned any about any of this. This is all new to me. Please show me. Show me. And you know what?
And Dave.
It's sad.
And their big impression they make is in the chair they're sitting on.
I'm watching what's going on in the world. See, I'm watching what's going on in the world. And if you have any spiritual eyes at all, you certainly have the ability to understand that Donald Trump is under a demonic attack, under a demonic attack. And there are people who called themselves never Trumpers, religious folks, who still are so bullheaded that they cannot see the spiritual war breaking out and can't even figure out which side's the good side and which side's the bad side. It is unbelievable to me. I'm talking about men of God who ought to be raising up their congregations to pray for the president that he would crush the head of the evil one, and they won't do that because he touched a pussy 25 years ago. It is like unbelievable. It is the most unbelievably sick religious spirit because we don't understand what's going on. If you're in a church and your pastor's never Trump, I'd run. I'd run. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if that other side wins, and what's coming to a head, isn't it, boys? Man, this has been fun. I know this. Coach, if I wasn't hosting, I'd be watching. Yeah, George.
Coach, one more thing. This is a little tinfoil happened, but not really. I wonder how many pastors are part of the FEMA emergency response team.
That's
a whole other topic for another day, though.
Hey, don't forget tomorrow is Friday, right? Tomorrow's Friday?
Yes.
Chance, survival, wholesale. Tomorrow we're going to do a little bit of Christian prepping. Be a little bit different, but Donald Trump declared this preparation month, so we're going to get prepared.
Should be on TV.
God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow.